on the gospel, the publicans, and the sinners, and also from St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom says, we need to remember, we hear this word publican very often, says St. John Chrysostom. So we have lost contact because there are no longer people called publicans in our day. Of course, he said this back in the 400s. And so we think of them as a particular kind of person in the gospel who was a humble man and who stood in the back of the church and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." We think of another publican who was Matthew, the tax collector, who left his tables and then served our Lord. Since we do not have contact with publicans, we do not think ourselves Pharisees. So says St. John Chrysostom. We think that we are not like the Pharisees. But in fact, we find that as we remain faithful to the letter of the law, Pharisaism becomes more difficult and becomes more common, rather. So let us put into perspective, first of all, with St. John Chrysostom, who the publican was. The publican was one of the most despised individuals in Israel at the time of our Lord. And they were not despised because Jews were rotten people. They were despised because publicans were rotten people. They were given over to many vices. Impurity was one of them, but they were especially known for their desire of money, their usury. They were the ones who were the turncoats. They were traitors to the Jewish people. They were traitors. They were considered traitors to the Jews because they were not followed. They bowed down to the Roman authority. They stole from their fellow Jews in order to benefit themselves. They took unjust taxes away from the Jewish people to give part of it to the Romans, and the other part they would keep for themselves. They were traitors to their own people. And because they were known as such, very often the publicans did not, since they were despised by everyone, they didn't really make a show of trying to be good. And so they would very ostentatiously be evil. They would ostentatiously go around with their sin, whether it be the sins against purity, the sins of anger, or whatever their sins were. They were very ostentatious and very showy about their sin. Since they were despised anyway, they might as well make themselves worthy of being despised. One such publican went into the temple to pray. Now this publican, says St. John Chrysostom, he was not a saint. He was a publican. That day he had stolen money. That day he had perhaps spent some time with the other sins against the sixth commandment and so on. The following day he would probably go back to his tax collecting. He would probably not immediately leave behind the life of the publican. There would be few that would do like St. Matthew. St. Matthew immediately left behind his tax collecting and immediately left behind his life of sin when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ looked at him and said, "Come, follow me." What should he say? St. Matthew, says St. Augustine, is wiser than Moses. Moses was a very proud man when he first met Jesus Christ. When we look carefully into Matthew, the publican, we will find that he is probably the man standing in the back of the church saying, "Let it be merciful to me, a sinner." St. Peter was a proud man when he met Jesus Christ. St. Matthew was not. St. Matthew was a great sinner. He was a thief. He was devoted to all the kinds of sins that can be numbered against the Ten Commandments. He was known for it. And one day he was collecting his taxes, and the master walked by and he said, "Come, follow me." He did not ask the proud question. Do you know the first question of the proud man, of the Pharisee, when he begins to come into contact with justice or truth or the faith? Why me? Sounds like a humble question. It's actually a proud one. Why me, Lord? I am a sinful tax collector. What he is really saying is, Lord, I like being a sinful tax collector, and I'm not worthy of going to follow you, so why me? That's the reason for the why me question. And in order to make it sound good, you say, well, I'm not worthy, and I wouldn't want to overstep my bounds. St. Matthew doesn't do that. Our Lord walked by and says, follow me. And he left his money on the table. He did not go back to his house. He did not ask, why have you chosen me, Lord, when there's all these faithful followers of you? I wasn't even listening to your sermon that you just gave. I didn't even care about the miracles you just performed. I just saw you walk by and I was counting my money. And then you looked at me in the face and you said, come follow me. And he got up and followed. He did not question. This is the first act of humility, says St. John Chrysostom. Faith. The first act of humility is the act of faith. And we consider the other side. The Pharisee. To put the Pharisee into perspective, we need to note that the Pharisees started about the year 500 B.C. The Jews were becoming very immoral, and a group of laymen got together to follow the law perfectly. They were going to follow the law and the prophets. And in the beginning, the Pharisees were actually very good. They were noted for their virtue, noted for their upholding the law, and not only upholding the truth of faith against those that would go off to idolatry, but also upholding a moral life. But then they became proud of their morality and proud of their doctrine, which was the true doctrine. And they slowly twisted their doctrine. Something happened between the year 500 when they were started and the coming of Christ. So that when Christ finally came, they did not recognize him. And though they practiced the letter of the morality of the law, when he came, it would be them that would crucify him. Who would be the ones predominantly responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? The Pharisees. Now let us translate the publicans and let's translate the Pharisees to the year 2003 because they still exist. St. John Chrysostom says, we feel safe when we say the word publican because none of us know publicans. So let's translate it to our own age. Pharisees are called traditional Catholics. Number one. Publicans are those who simply live the immoral life out in the world. They are the people that come into the church with shorts on Sunday because they don't know that we have a traditional mass here and they don't see the little dress code thing out in the back. And so they come in and they're wearing shorts. They come into the church or they come in and sit in the back there because they don't know the rules of St. Isidore's here. And what do the Pharisees do? Look at the way they're dressed. What are they saying? We look at the tabernacle and we say, Lord, I dress correctly, only at church. We leave that part out. I dress correctly. I am sitting here with my missal. I've got a veil on my head. I go to confession every month. I've never seen him in the confession line. How come they let in people like that? How come the ushers aren't stopping them from getting in the door? If we had, that's the reason why we have all these temptations for our young men is because all these girls dress the way these ladies are dressed nowadays, and it's absolutely terrible and it's awful. And St. John Chrysostom has a warning, and he gives a parable. St. John Chrysostom says, he says, there were two chariots on a race. One chariot was way out in the front, and he had an axle made out of virtue and pride. And another chariot was lagging far behind. And this chariot had an axle that was made out of many sins and humility. And St. John Chrysostom says, I know which one will win the race. I put my money on the sins and humility. Something's going to happen to the virtue and pride chariot. Another statement of the saints, it wasn't St. John Chrysostom, it was another saint. I forget which one, but one of the fathers of the church. There are many impure souls in heaven, but there is not one proud saint. It is the most deadly of the sins. We put it in the first place as the seven capital sins, pride, covetousness, lust, and so on. It is the first one. It does not seem to be the most evil. It is not the most obviously evil sin. But the only problem with it is, it assures us a place in hell. Whereas the other sins, we can go to heaven. That publican that was standing in the back of the church was filled with sin. When he said, O Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, he was not being pious. He was making an act of faith. He was stating the truth before his God. And we come into this church and we lie before our God. And we think that he will not punish us because we are liars. We too must stand and tell the truth before our God. It is the foundation of all supernatural life. No matter how bad our sins are, there is no way that we can come to God without saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. As I've mentioned many, many times, it is always a wasted trip when you travel before the tabernacle and do not say at least once, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's a waste of time to come through those doors. Absolute waste. You're better off sleeping, watching a movie, or anything. But if you're going to come through those doors into this space where God is, then it is necessary that every time you do it, and every time that I do it, that we say to our Lord in the tabernacle, be merciful to me, a sinner. And not because it's a pious thing to do, but because it's true. And all things are seen by God. The humble man is the man of faith, says St. Augustine. He recognizes the truth. And the truth is, God is good. And I have been his enemy. That's the truth. And when our Lord hears us say, even in a weak way, the truth, it moves his heart. The divine heart is not automatically moved. He asks that we do something. And all that he asks that we do is to say with conviction before him, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now when we do this, there are some consequences, says St. John Chrysostom. There are some consequences. If I realize that I am a thief, when I hear that someone talks about the horrible life of thieves, I kind of, you know, walk into a corner. I get quiet because I know that I am a thief and I don't want to be found out. If I am a murderer and they start to talk about a murder case, says St. John Chrysostom, and I happen to be the one that committed the crime and they haven't found the one yet, I don't devote much time to the subject. I try to get them to change the subject because I don't want to be caught. And yet we are sinners, says St. John. We are sinners. And we have no problem accusing others of sin. This causes the wrath of God. It brings down the divine wrath. It were gentle words that are contained in the gospel today. It says the publican went home justified. The Pharisee did not. But those are gentle words. The reality is the publican can be saved and the Pharisee is damned. That's the reality. And so humility is a virtue which is absolutely essential if we wish to be saved and go to the kingdom of heaven. But it is a real virtue that must be practiced by me now, in this space, at this time. We sometimes feel very distant from the gospel. At least I'm not a Pharisee. Now the tables have turned. If you say you're a publican, oh, that means you're a good person. If you say you're a Pharisee, that means you're bad. So the tables have turned. So now if we're going to have the same gospel today, we should come in, and the Pharisee came in and said, Lord, I'm sorry for being a Pharisee. And the publican came in and said, Lord, at least I'm not a Pharisee. That's the way the gospel should be written today. You know that that's an expression that I've heard about 100 million times. I've only been a priest now for 10 years, or it was my 10th year, 9 years. In the course of these last 10 years, I have heard about 100 million times, at least I'm not a Pharisee. We say that all the time. Whoever says those words is a Pharisee. It's exactly the same thing as saying, at least I'm not a publican, as the Pharisee said 2,000 years ago. So the words have changed. The reality is not. Pharisees, and Pharisaism, what it really is, stops supernatural growth. It keeps us from seeing divine things. You know that there are so many beautiful treasures that God wants to show us. There are so many wonderful things He wants us to see. And we put up a veil. We walk into church with a curtain in front of us, like the curtain that used to be hanging in front of that door. Everybody takes it down and they walk in front. Or they wear Ray Charles sunglasses. And they walk around. My, what a beautiful place. We see nothing. And what God says to us, try taking those little Ray Charles sunglasses off. I have so many beautiful things to show you, but we don't want to see it. Why don't we want to see it? Because we are afraid. St. Peter is like us. He wasn't as bad as the Pharisees, but he wasn't as humble as Matthew when he first met Christ. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. If he really is a sinful man, and the Lord wants him to follow him, then he's got no right to be asking questions. You don't make demands of Christ. It would take St. Peter a long time to figure that one out. He would regularly make this mistake. But there was a kind of humility in him, and there was a kind of pride. He had both of them mixed, and he would go back and forth between them. One day he would say with a humble heart and with the fullness of his conviction, O Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. And we are like that sometimes. Every now and then we have brief moments of conviction where we really believe that God is God and that He is more powerful than the evil men of our modern world and that He can help us to overcome our sins and that He can truly forgive our sins. O Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. But then we have those other moments. Lord, on Holy Thursday night, if St. Peter was good at anything, it was at lousy timing. Holy Thursday night, when Christ is in the most solemn moment of His life, St. John, the sensitive apostle, he did not know it was the last moments of Christ's life, but he knew that this was a sacred and solemn moment and no time to contradict the Master. One of you is going to betray me. And Christ and St. Peter says with the fullness of conviction of his heart, if everyone here denies you, I never will. I never will. Soldiers have said when going into battle, old soldiers, that it has amazed them how many times that the tough guy, The guy who was ready for the fight. The guy who said, I'm ready to go out there, but what about this wimp with the glasses and this guy that can't lift any weights, he can barely pick up his gun. He's scared every time we walk around a corner. And the tough guy cowers in fear when the bullets fly. And the skinny guy with glasses attacks. When it really matters. When he realizes that it really matters, his fire comes out. They said of St. Louis the King, he was so gentle and he was so humble and he was so kind that no one could imagine him lifting a finger against a foe. And yet it is said of him in battle that he was so fierce and so violent that all were terrified of him, even his own soldiers. And he would instruct them, if you're going to run a Muslim through in a battle, only do it once. You shouldn't have to waste two blows on one Muslim. That's what he said. St. Louis. Kill him right the first time. There's more out there. And he was noted for his kindness and his gentleness. He couldn't hurt a fly. But when it came to the time of battle, he was there. And so it is with a truly humble man. He is the one that will be ready to go into the kingdom of Christ. He is the one that God wants to come into his army. He is the one that he wants sitting in his pews. Those who know they are sinners, who know they are weak, and who have confidence therefore only in God, not in themselves. St. Peter had great confidence in himself. Three times he denied Christ before the night was over. And the Pharisee would be damned. Remember the chariot race, says St. John Chrysostom. Virtue and pride equals a crash. Sins and humility equals arriving at the throne, arriving at the goal. And so be encouraged, would say St. John Chrysostom at the end of his sermon on this topic. We all know one thing. We are proud sinners and enemies of God. Just recognize the fact. And when we recognize this fact before God, He will transform us and we will be able to arrive at His kingdom. He will change our pride into humility. That recognition of the divine truth that I am a sinner and that He is God. And so let's strive to do that. Without humility, we cannot be saved. It is not a virtue for the pious. It is a virtue that is necessary to enter the doors of heaven. Those who do not have it will be damned. It is the essential, necessary virtue that is the foundation of all supernatural life. And so let's strive to acquire it. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.